Across central Wisconsin, people are tuning in and sounding off. Call in now. 715-845-2155. WSAU Feedback on AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.
Welcome to Feedback. 8 minutes after 8, 715-845-2155. Growing up as a young lad, my mother always said, "Boy, nothing good ever happens after midnight." I always wondered why she would say something like that to me. Till one night I was out with my buddies, high school kid, you know, I think we were seniors, and out driving around. It was 12:30, 1 o'clock at night, heading back from a party or something like that. Come pull up to a four-way stop and notice a police officer right on my tail. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Not just behind you, but like basically touching the back of your car. And I knew, okay, something's up. Did I speed through the neighborhood? Did I run a red light? Well, you know, I know I'm getting pulled over, but I wasn't sure why.
This is the story where you were being profiled as a possible
suspect.
Suspect in another crime.
Right, and a robbery. And as I turn the corner, going to make a left-hand turn, here comes the backup. Lights going, the whole nine yards, guns drawn. So we get out of the car very carefully. We are slammed, cuffed, stuffed into the back of all cars with no explanation. No, excuse me, sir. We would like to violate your civil rights and take you into custody without explanation.
Well, I'm wondering why you are here when you probably could have sued and retired to some island somewhere.
Well, I didn't think about suing, and I'll tell you why. Because my attitude, once I found out what was going on, changed. It's like, hey, man, why are you rousing me? Now, we were taken to a house in a different neighborhood. The owner of the house poked his head in, you know, in the back window, looked at me and a couple of, you know, our buddies and said, "Nope, that's not them. They were black." And we were released. Again, without any explanation, without an apology. One officer said, "You're lucky we brought you back to your car." You know, they could have just let us go right there. No. We were blocks away. Well, come to find out later through some friends that of my father who were in the police department, there had been a robbery of music equipment, amps, guitars, keyboards, drums, that kind of stuff. And the suspects were driving a car exactly like the one I was in, a 75 Monte Carlo, dark brown with a tan Landau top. Well, at least that's what was, you know, told. Well, okay, our car fit the description. They pulled us over. They rousted us. Thank God the people that filed the complaint realized we were not the perps, because can you imagine at that point, where have you been? Well, we were at a party. Who saw you? The lawyers and money and aggravation and shame and all of that. So the question, I guess, for you, you're asking me, why didn't I sue? Well, my realization was that the officers were going on the information that they had, and they were doing their job. When they stopped me, they had to assume that we were youths that had committed a crime. They didn't know whether we were armed or not. Why should they be gentle? Why should a police officer put his life on the line so that he could come up, "Excuse me, don't mean to disturb you fine, outstanding young gentlemen who are obviously out way past your bedtime. Did you guys just commit a crime? Did you rob it? No? Okay, well, please, be on your way." Of course not. I put myself in the police officer's shoes, and I would have acted the same way. Now, would I have appreciated an apology? "Hey, we're sorry about that. Rub some calamine lotion on your handcuff, you know, where we bruised your wrist with the cuffs." Something. It would have been nice for a little customer service. But
no, you're lucky we took you back to your car.
That's exactly that was the attitude. "You're lucky we brought you back to your car, you little dirtbag." And the thing of it is, they knew we, listen, we, again,
if we didn't get you for this one, we'll get you for something else.
Probably, that was probably the attitude. It's like, we know you're guilty of something. We didn't get you this time, but next time we'll get you on something. So, and listen, we weren't little perfect angels out running around. Half the time we were doing things that, yeah, we probably could have gotten in trouble for. So now, having staged it this way, there's a family that say they are haunted by what happened to them after they were pulled over following a visit to an Ohio Air Force museum. According to Alice Hill, she says her grandson was studying the Wright brothers at school, wanted to see the plane on display at the National Museum of the U.S. Air Force, which I thought the Wright brothers plane was actually at the Smithsonian in D.C., but maybe it makes trips around the country. Well, that would be a good idea anyway. Anyway, I digress. She says that her grandson, she and her grandson were playing a game in the museum parking lot where they would walk around and identify all of the out-of-state license plates. You got a kid, there's some kind of delay, whatever it is, you entertain them the way you can. Remember doing that when you were on the road? Hey, look, sure. There's one from
Back
Michigan.
Back before you could have handheld video games and,
right.
and DVD players in the car.
Right, and brain drain of electronic form. So she's doing whatever she can to keep the kid occupied. She says he's excited. Look at all these cars, all the places they've come from, Alaska, New Mexico, Georgia. Remember, they're in Ohio. So her and her family, they all pile back in the car and they take off to leave. As they are driving away, they see a military officer pull them over. As, what did I run a red light? Did I speed? What is going on? The officer got out of his vehicle and had his gun drawn, standing behind the door and pointing it at the family. Apparently, someone had seen them in the parking lot, called 911, and told authorities that they had been burglarizing cars in the parking lot. Now, the grandchildren were upset. Somebody, five-year-old daughter started asking her father, "Is grandma going to get shot?" To which the dad said, "We can only hope." I'm kidding. Military police spokesperson has conceded the officers acted on limited information. Quote, "Our security force, based on limited information, made a high-risk traffic stop and believed that this vehicle was stolen based on the information they had received. All we can do at this point is offer our apology to the Hills, and we've invited them to come out to the base and meet with security forces." Oh, good! Maybe they can have a beer in the Rose Garden and have a learning experience. All right, so now you know what happened. We're going to take a break. When we come back, let's talk about it. Is the family right for being upset, or did the cops do the right thing? 715-845-2155. We'll be right back.
The Wisconsin Morning News to start your day.
Feedback at 8.
The biggest talkers.
And did we mention football?
There's only one station that delivers it all.
Every day.
AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.
Oh, by the way, the Obama administration just sent out a urgent memo to the world saying if you like your morning show, you can keep your morning show. Very, very important. All right, let us see if we can't fire up the phones and have a bit of a conversation. Thanks for calling. What's your name?
Frank.
Frank, what can we do for you this morning?
Just talking in reference, I tuned it a little bit late, but I heard what you were talking about with regard to this traffic stop or what it may have been.
Yeah.
My understanding is that they were stopped after they were burglarizing vehicles.
The grandmother and the grandchild were walking around the parking lot, and they were looking at all of the license plates and admiring from where they came from. They were in Ohio at a museum, and they were entertaining the child by saying, "Hey, look, this one's from Alaska, this one's from New Mexico, etc." Someone saw them walking around looking at the cars, assumed they were breaking in, and called 911.
Okay. I guess my big issue with what I heard there is, as it's reported, I think as law enforcement, viewing the totality of the circumstances, there's no active break-in or what, and meaning that it's a grandmother and children amongst the vehicles, in making that stop, I think there was very much a lack of discretion.
Okay, now...
And an overreaction, which is seemingly more common, more popular now, and you can even see it around the Wausau area.
Okay, so the officer is, he's in his patrol car. Now, this is a military police officer. I don't know if that really makes that much of a difference, but it's on a military base where this museum was. The officer gets a call from dispatch saying, hey, we've got a report of people breaking in. This is a car that fits the description. The car may be stolen. We don't know. Go investigate. You think that it was inappropriate for the officer to make the stop with his gun drawn at that point?
Well, I would say, I mean, if they have no idea that the vehicle is indeed stolen, you know, it's...
How about following the vehicle and then having somebody else investigate to see if any cars were actually broken into? If there actually was a burglary or if it was just a false 911 report?
You know, that's...
Okay. How I say the totality of the circumstances, you can see the occupants of the vehicle, you know, being...
Yeah.
If you want to say it, you know, how many people... They, in your experience, are going to go and burglarize vehicles with their grandmother and or parents or with their young children, for
gotcha.
That matter.
I got you. I hear you very clear. Thank you very much for calling in. Let's go to Mike. Mike, thanks for calling in. What's your opinion?
Well, I used to be a security policeman in the Air Force.
Okay.
And whenever you approach any situation, you have to use whatever you have at hand, you know, whatever information you have. But you always go in there with the thought in your mind that your life is in danger. So you have to take every precaution necessary. Even though something may look very simple, it could get complex real fast.
And we're not talking the type of complexity that could cause a lot of paperwork. We're talking the kind of complexity that could end somebody's life, possibly the officer's.
Exactly.
Now, I do like the suggestion that was made by Tom and our previous caller, Frank. Follow the suspect until there is another officer that can get a little bit more information at the scene and determine, is there actually a break-in or do we have a false report? You having experience being a security officer... What's the validity of that? Follow them for a little while and see what happens. If they're innocent, they're not going to rabbit. But if they take off on a high-speed chase, well, then you know you got a probable good cause to pull them over.
You may not have the luxury of that time.
You mean to follow them? Why not?
To follow them. You want to be able to secure the situation immediately.
Okay.
All right. Because no matter what, it could be totally innocent, but you have to secure the situation immediately, or it could turn into something very, very bad very quickly
and go sideways and get dangerous very quick. Okay.
Exactly.
All right, Mike, thank you very much for calling in. I appreciate that. Now, I love when we have the experience of our callers, people that have done the job, call in and throw in. Now, I've never been a police officer. I thought about being a police officer, but I've never done it. Do I own a pair of handcuffs? Of course I do, but that has nothing to do with what we're talking about. Let's talk about Reverend Al Sharpton and the story of him being an FBI informant. The story came out of the smoking gun that said that Al Sharpton ratted out on several of the big five families, mafia families in New York, that he was a paid informant, confidential informant number seven. Well, he comes out and says, no, I did not voluntarily do any of that. You see, my life was threatened, and out of being scared, I ran to the FBI for protection, and they made me rat out the FBI. Ooh, sorry. The smoking gun has done an awful lot of confidential record requests. You know, the record requests where they get the documents, the Freedom of Information Act. And these records are showing that... he has fabricated every bit of the reasoning why. He's not denying that he did it. He's lying about why he did it. The appearance is that he may have been getting into trouble himself and that the FBI offered him the opportunity to be a snitch, and he took it. Recording conversations of mafiosos. And as was brought up yesterday, what kind of business was Sharpton in that he could get so snuggly with these major crime family bosses?
It was the music business in New York back in the 80s. Yeah.
Now, here's my theory about this. Al Sharpton is vehemently denying that he volunteered and that he was a snitch. That he worked with the FBI. He is making it sound like he was forced into it. He's making it sound like he was coerced into it. He wants to avoid the appearance that he cooperated at all costs. Why? Let's think about this for a second. What does Al Sharpton do for a living? Al Sharpton fights the man, because we all know the man is still keeping the brother down. The man has still got the jackboot on the back of the neck of the brother. And if you are going to have any kind of believability at all, you can't have gone to the man and said, "Hey, I need your help."
Well, I'm not quite sure why this is front page news at this point.
Because it's Al Sharpton. Al Sharpton puts himself on the front page.
He wrote about this stuff in his book years ago, apparently.
But he didn't tell the truth. He whitewashed it, if you'll pardon this expression. Now they're coming out and saying exactly what happened. He was a mob informant.
Apparently, he was pretty good, because a lot of the guys that he informed in
are in jail.
Now,
there's two reasons. One, he doesn't want to lose street cred with the people he's trying to represent. Okay? You can't work for the man and fight the man at the same time. That's not how it works. And the second thing is, does he really want the mob families knowing he was a pigeon? That he was a squealer?
Well, apparently they knew even back in the day, and that's not only what he's saying, but what other people are saying.
Listen,
is that he was threatened with death by the Genovese crime family back in the 80s for trying to stop their stranglehold on the music industry in New York, and that's when he went to the FBI and wore a wire and started turning on these guys.
Yeah. Well, I just find it very, very interesting.
He was also the road manager for James Brown for 10 years.
Was he really?
That's how he got into the music business. He was working for the hardest working man in show business.
that's perfect. You know, listen, Al Sharpton's a weasel. He is a lying
weasel. I won't argue with that. I think that the idea that the media goes to both him and Jesse Jackson for any comment on something that happens in the black community needs to change.
It's an insult to the black community.
There are other representatives of the black community that would have more to say on issues than these two.
As a member of the white gated neighborhood community, I can tell you.
You don't live in a gated neighborhood.
I will one day. Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson are an insult to the black community. I have the authority to say that because I watch Fox News and MSNBC.
Ted Nugent representing the white community and having the be-all and say-all on anything that happens.
Wait a minute. Many
of us would be upset by that.
We would?
Oh, you maybe wouldn't, but a lot of people would.
News, talk, and Rush Station. News Talk 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.